So you've got a treat this morning. Kate's going to be teaching, and then after.
Good morning. We love the Chronicles of Narnia stories in our house. Has anybody read those or heard of them or seen the films? This is our big book. Our favourite is the Prince Caspian one. Have you seen that one? The boys seem to love the battle scenes and the sword fighting and all of that. When they were younger, they used to fight over who would be King Peter. Sam always won because he was the eldest. Joseph got to be Edmund. In C.S. Lewis's sixth book, The Silver Chair, we read this wonderful interaction between Jill and the lion. And I just want to read this to you now, just to set the scene of what I want to talk about this morning. Okay, here we go. "Are you not thirsty?" said the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I do?" said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. And as Jill gazed at its motionless bulk, she realized that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Will you promise not to do anything to me if I do come?" said Jill. "I make no promise," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she'd come a step nearer. "Do you eat girls?" she said. "I've swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. He didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry. Just said it. "I daren't come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, coming another step nearer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream then." "There is no other stream," said the lion. Have you ever felt like Jill? Have you ever felt thirsty for something? What sort of things are you thirsty for? Because the reality is, deep down, we're all thirsty for something. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's job satisfaction. Maybe it's a special someone, for a healthy marriage, for children, for more fun, for no financial pressures, for friends, for direction in our lives, for kudos, for adventure. Now, over the last few months, probably much longer than that actually, I have been really thirsty. I am genuinely thirsty for more people to come to know Jesus for the first time. For me, there's no better feeling in the world than introducing Jesus to people. It's an amazing thing. I'm thirsty for people to be healed. I'm thirsty for God to come and transform our church so that we can't wait to see what he's going to do on a Sunday morning. I'm thirsty for personally making a difference, for more adventures, more stories. But before January, when I was kind of looking around, I saw people suffering. I saw people angry. I saw people dying. And I saw injustice, and I saw struggling. And to be honest, I was contemplating, is this it? Is this as good as it gets? Is there more to life than this? Is this just how it's going to be? And the false narrative that goes round and round in my brain is, I'm totally irrelevant, I'm not making a difference at all in this kingdom, and I might as well just not be here. This is ridiculous. It was funny because, like Jill in the Narnia story, who says to the lion, I suppose I must go and look for another stream then. I dreamt of escapism, you know, to that fictional place where it's all happy and there's no sadness and where everyone is filled with joy. Miracles are abundant and we're all basking in the favour of the Lord. And Ben and I semi-joked about the chats we had of living in Australia when we were younger. Maybe it'd be better there. There'd be, you know, there's no sadness there. It's all happy there. There's no grief or pain or sorrow. Do you ever have that escapism thing? Or maybe it's just me. Oh, yes, Mike's with me. I'm just going to take my earrings out because I can hear them bashing against the microphone. We need to recognise what we're thirsty for. We need to recognise our thirst. What are you longing for? What are you thirsty for? When the people of Israel were living in exile in Babylon, they knew what it was like to be thirsty. They'd been taken from the promised land, taken away from the temple of God, and removed from his presence. And they were sitting, wondering if they would ever win the favor of God again. And they're sitting by the rivers of Babylon, reading the words from Isaiah, and desperate to know God's presence afresh. So let's turn to Isaiah 55 and just read what they were reading at the time. It's quite long, but it's good, so I want to read the whole thing. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know, who do not know you, will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Today, I added that bit. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Sorry. And instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. So, Isaiah is a prophet. He's one who sees or hears from God. And he's speaking on God's behalf, and he's speaking into the hearts and minds of the people of Israel. It's a message of hope. So back in chapter 40, Isaiah is speaking of grace and forgiveness and building a way back to God. And then in Isaiah 53, he starts to articulate exactly how that hope can be achieved and how that path of hope can be walked. He talks and prophesies about the one called the suffering servant who was pierced for our transgressions and who will be led like a lamb taken to the slaughter. In chapter 54, Isaiah invites us to start dreaming and acting as if that hope is coming. And then we arrive here, at Isaiah 55, where there is this personal invitation for us to drink deeply so that our thirst can be fully quenched. Now, God said very clearly to me lately that thirst is good. Because in order for us to be satisfied, we need to start by being dissatisfied. Thirst is good. I'll say that again. In order for us to be satisfied, we need to start by being dissatisfied. Thirst is good. And what we do with that thirst is really important. Sometimes it's like a crossroads. Do we ask the Lord to quench our thirst, or do we look for other things to fill the need? In John chapter 4, we read how Jesus had to go through Samaria on his way back to Galilee. He didn't have to go that way. He could have taken a different route, except that he'd planned an encounter with a woman at the well. Do you remember that story? He meets this woman at the well, and he starts to speak to her. This was a woman with plenty of issues. She certainly shouldn't have been at the well alone, and certainly not in the hottest part of the day. Now, Jesus is thirsty and asks the woman to give him a drink, but she reminds him that she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew. Doesn't he realize what he's doing? They then go on to have this conversation, and she is completely floored by his questions. The woman was thinking Jesus was a typical Jew, but Jesus took her up on this. If she'd known his identity, he says, she would have asked him for life-giving water. Then incredibly, Jesus says, go, call your husband. She says, I have no husband. Jesus says, you're absolutely right, you've had five. Why does he do that? It's so provocative, you can't do that. It's because he has to put her in touch with her thirst. He has to put her in touch with what she wants, what she yearns for. This woman was in great need, both spiritually and morally. They then start to have this incredible conversation about thirst and life. You can read it for yourselves maybe later. But Jesus does that for us. He wants to put us in touch with what we're thirsty for. What are you thirsty for? Maybe you're not in touch with your thirst. Maybe you ignore your thirstiness because that TV program is a little bit more interesting, or the computer game is more appealing, or whatever it is. I'd encourage you to get in touch with your thirst. Maybe like the Samaritan woman, you're trying to satisfy your thirst with something else. Maybe you're thirsty for the wrong things, like money, sex, power. I don't want us to fill up our life with dirty water. It might be that you're filling up with water from the River Trent instead of from the best Highland spring. We went whitewater rafting in the River Trent once. Do you remember that, Steve? We were advised to drink Coke afterwards because it killed off all the Viles disease that we might have swallowed halfway down as we were, you know, paddling along. Apparently it's because of the rats. Nice. Don't drink from the River Trent is my point. You have gallons and gallons and gallons of life-giving water available at your disposal, given to you by a loving and generous God. You can fill your life with other stuff, but it won't quench your thirst. Isaiah says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. This stuff is for free. It doesn't even cost us anything. Not only does the water quench our thirst, but it restores us and it renews us. Maybe you need to be restored this morning. It brings cleansing, it brings restoration, it brings effervescence, and it brings clarification. And it doesn't cost you a bean. Our generous God also offers us milk and wine without any cost. And it's not just best price Asda milk. It's the best, like the best organic milk from a local farm, given to us to nourish us for our good health, for a settledness in our lives and a living connection to God in our everyday life. Our generous God also offers us the best wine. Now, I'm not really clued up on wine, so somebody needs to tell me a really good wine. What's a really good wine? David, what's a really good wine? I don't know. Shiraz, is that good? Chianti. Chianti, is that good? No, you see, everybody's teetotal. Nobody clearly drinks. We need Alex Griffin back. I don't know anything about wine, but imagine the best wine. The best wine is offered to us. Not some cheapy, nasty stuff. It's the best for laughter, for exhilaration, for fun, and much joy. Do you remember I spoke earlier of how I've been thinking and asking God, is this it? Are there no more adventures to have? Is this it? So I just want to finish with what I feel the Lord has said to me over this time, and I think it's relevant for you guys too. Firstly, is that he is very much present with us, and he is at work right now. That I shouldn't be dismayed, for he is currently working in me and in you, in his church and in our city. It may not be the basking in the glory of the Holy Spirit, with us all seeing miracles every day, which we all long for, but he is certainly and most definitely at work as he changes us, as we go through this season that we're going through at the moment of waiting on a promise. He's at work, and I love that. And he's pleased that we are thirsty for more of his kingdom. God also reminded me of the gospel, and that we are not, and I am not, stuck in the grave. We've been bought for a really big price. And in times when I feel or you feel like you're in the grave, Jesus reminds us that he rose from the grave. He didn't stay there. And he did it so that I could have life in all its fullness. It's not a life of trying to sin less. Who wants that? I don't want that. It's a life of purpose and meaning. And some of you, maybe you're acting like you're in the grave still. And God is calling you to life. I repented and continue to repent. Sometimes I think I spend my life repenting. I repented and said sorry for thinking that this is all God has for us. It's not true. I chose and continue to believe that he has much planned for us. That his promises are true. And we will see his kingdom come more and more in our church and in Leeds. I always find it interesting that when we repent, our perspective is restored. Do you find that? We stop navel-gazing, and our love for God and for the church is restored, and our hearts are full of thanks and praise. I'd encourage you to be a people who repent really quickly. Just say sorry really quickly. If you need to do that this morning, it's really simple. Find some space. Say sorry to God for what you've chosen to believe, whatever your false narrative is. And be brutally honest. Don't try and justify your thoughts and actions. And then receive his forgiveness and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. So, before we see what else the Lord wants to do, why don't I just use the words of Isaiah 55 and pray for us. May all of us come to the waters and drink deeply. May we come and buy wine and milk without any cost. May we seek and call on you, Lord, right now that you are near. May we say sorry for any ways and thoughts that are not right. May your words be our words. May they accomplish what you desire. And may we go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Amen.